Here It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Calling all space enthusiasts, set your alarms for the overnight hours and look up. A total lunar eclipse is set for Wisconsin skies.
The celestial event returns to align the Earth, Moon, and Sun for a pretty cool sight.
Once the Moon passes the Earth's shadow, a beautiful range of red and orange colors will form as the blood moon takes effect.
As Wisconsinites hope for clear skies, we're learning more about the rare event. The leader of the Northwoods Explorers of Space and Astronomy, based in Minocqua, is with us. Jim Head is the president of the group. He's also a NASA JPL Solar System Ambassador. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for the invite. Appreciate it and broadcasting this.
And now, assuming we get clear enough skies, we'll talk about that in a bit, I think. What do we see when we have this full lunar eclipse?
Well, tonight, the moon eclipse begins at 11 p.m., ends around 5 a.m. However, totality is when you can see it best is from 1:26 a.m. to 2:31 for about 66 minutes. It'll be located just south of the constellation Leo in the south direction. It glows between Regulus, Leo's bright star, and Virgo's brightest star, Spica. The moon is roundest on the day when it's full, but the day before and after it appears almost, but not quite full. Tonight's full moon is called the Worm Moon. The name Worm Moon honors the stirring of earthworms and insect larvae in the slowly warming late winter and early spring soil. They occur fairly frequently, with at least two happening every year somewhere on Earth. On average, there are about three lunar eclipses annually, but not all of them are total lunar eclipses, and not all of them are the same location. If the same location, it happens about once every 2.5 years. Of course, it always depends on the alignment of the sun, Earth, and moon, with the Earth being in the middle, with the Earth, the moon traveling into its shadow as we go around the sun together as a system. It'll appear red due to the phenomenon called Rayleigh scattering. That's because the blue, the faster rays, the blue and purples and one end of the spectrum get scattered. The red light, just like on a sunset or sunrise, goes through our atmosphere and lights up the moon when it's in our shadow. So it's not totally dark. And if you use binoculars or a telescope, you can see more detail, but just having your own eyes up there is fine. And if there's a few clouds, it should be bright enough to see through them.
Okay. And looking at the weather, I was peeking around the state. It looks like partly cloudy through a lot of the southern parts of the state, mostly cloudy in northern part, I think, including in your neck of the woods. But you're thinking it'll be bright enough, even if you have pretty good cloud cover, you're going to see something?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Now, as somebody who likes to watch the night sky, obviously, give us a sense of how exciting a lunar eclipse is for you. Is this mundane every couple of few years, or is this something you're definitely going to sacrifice some sleep for?
Well, I think it's really worth it. I mean, it's quite a unique phenomena. We're the only planet in the solar system that can have a total solar eclipses because the moon's apparent size almost matches the sun, some 90 million more miles away from the moon and us. And a lunar eclipse is just as exciting. Now, they don't happen every time during a full moon because our moon's orbit is tilted 5 degrees to the plane of our orbit around the sun. So it has to be lined up perfectly with the plane, and that only happens a few times during the year. So this is a special event. The next one's not until March 3rd next year at 2:44 a.m. And the next one after that's another year and a half away. So they're pretty rare. Now, the partial lunar eclipses happen more often, but to have one in totality is a real treat. And to see it red like this is really unique. And if you have, like I said, binoculars, just standard binoculars, just rest them against your brow, sit down, look to the south, and I bet you'll see some really interesting craters and details. It's just a fascinating to see. And plus, if you were on the moon looking at the Earth, you'd be able to see a sunrise and sunset everywhere on Earth while this is happening.
I guess, yeah, from the perspective of the moon, this is a solar eclipse, or I guess an earthal eclipse. The sun is going to be completely blocked out if one of us happens to be standing on the moon looking inward.
Yeah, but you see a ring of fire around planet Earth. So
amazing. Now, the moon is entirely in Earth's shadow. And I will admit, I'm kind of a fan of lunar eclipses. I like to get out and watch them. I've suffered through some pretty cold weather to watch them. And it is... it's kind of mind-blowing to think the moon, which is a pretty big thing up there, is in the Earth's shadow. Does that just a unique perspective on our night sky when this happens?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the last time it happened here at my home here in Minocqua, my porch faces the south. It was 30 degrees below at 1 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I went out and saw it. We didn't last very long, but it was interesting to see the cold weather at the same time, the crisp blood moon. It was just a fascinating sight. I hope the same thing will happen tonight, except the warmer temperatures, of course.
Right. And now you're part of this Northwood Explorers of Space and Astronomy. Is this something that you and other people are gathering to watch together, or are you kind of all in touch beforehand, you know, making your plans, but you'll kind of do it from separate locations?
Let's do it from separate locations. We have over 400 people on our email list. We give out Aurora alerts, and everybody else is free to sign up. You can just go to our website at thenorthwoodsexplorers.org. We also have information on our homepage about this eclipse. You also can go to timeanddate.com for all eclipses in the future, both total and lunar. So it's really a good thing to see. We hold public stargazing parties and other events. If it's during the daytime, we can do it, but it's kind of hard to set up for everybody to see in the morning. Plus, you don't need a telescope. We have some really fantastic telescopes to share the universe with the public and schools and public libraries. But all our events are listed on our homepage. And if you have an astronomy club near you, I'm sure they're going to be having events too. I know there's some really good ones in Madison and Milwaukee. Some of their members are members of our club. I'm a member of some of their clubs. So we all kind of work together. There's over 600 astronomy clubs across the United States. Almost all of them are nonprofit like we are. And we just serve to help educate the public and make them more aware of the beautiful universe that's around us.
We're talking about the total lunar eclipse coming to Wisconsin skies after midnight tonight. Jim Head is with us, president of the Northwoods Explorers of Space and Astronomy, based in Minocqua. Now, a fun coincidence here, Jim, is tomorrow is March 14th, a.k.a. Pi Day, because of the mathematical ratio pi, 3.14, etc. And that's a fun number for astronomers, because a lot of astronomy happens in circles, right? Why is pi so significant?
Well, with pi, all you need is to look at the moon, calculate its diameter, and you can determine its circumference and its volume. Furthermore, if you study it a little bit farther over a period of a year, you can figure out Earth's orbital period, and any other planet orbital period. And it's used in many other ways, of course, and it's just a really handy formula to use if you're trying to figure out something.
Including orbits, the circumference of planets. Talk about the significance of pi. How do we use that in our math to do some homebrewed astronomy?
Well, if you want to find out the mass of the moon, for example, you'd have to find out the volume of the moon and its orbital period and approximate mass that it's orbiting. So you can do it in that way. Many other ways you use it is just to figure out the angular diameter of an object so you can set up your camera right so you can frame it correctly in the field of view when you're doing astrophotography.
I want to look at some other events going on in the night sky. Now, I've seen headlines. I haven't gone out and tried to see it, but a planetary lineup where a bunch of our solar system neighbors have been present in the night sky at the same time. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Well, they're not really lined up only from our apparent view. If you were to go out into space, you'd see they're in different locations. Of course, some are nearer to us, some are farther away. Venus and Mercury are inner planets to us, so they are only visible shortly after sunset or before sunrise. It's pretty unique when you have the moon grazing a planet or a star. We call that an occultation. That's a fun object to watch because you can look at the actual shape of the mountains on the limb of the sun as the star blinks in and out as it's just grazing it. That's very interesting. There's many other events coming up. We just had an amazing total solar eclipse last year. The next good one in North America is not going to happen until 2045. But every night, like the spring is best for looking at galaxies because our perspective and how we're arranged in our solar system to the Milky Way is kind of out of the way on the horizon. So it opens up the rest of the universe. If you want to do any deep sky viewing with galaxies through a telescope, spring is the best time to do that. For planet viewing, winter is usually the best if you think about it, because in the summer, the sun's high. That means at night, planets will be low because we all are in the same plane called the ecliptic. In the wintertime, it's just the opposite. The sun is down low and the planets will be up high. Unfortunately, Jupiter and Saturn are marching forward right now in the sky. Like you said, you can see many planets, but Orion's up. You can see Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, Venus. So it's quite a treat.
All right, now galaxy watching. I know occasionally we could see them. I don't know from a galaxy. It might just look like a little cluster of stars to me. What kind of galaxies can we take a gander at in the spring?
Well, there's thousands to choose from, but you'll need a telescope. The only galaxy visible by your unaided eye is Andromeda, M31, or Messier 31. And that's visible in the summertime and in the fall. And it's larger than the moon. So we, at our star parties, we use green lasers that seem like they point for miles to point to the laser, to the galaxy, because it's difficult to pick out just by yourself, and then have a person with a set of binoculars follow the end of my laser. Then I turn my laser off and kapow, the galaxy is right in their view. And it looks pretty good. Now, you can't see individual stars in a distant galaxy. They just look like blurbs. It wasn't until the early 1900s that they even discovered there were other galaxies beside the Milky Way galaxy. And they thought they were just nebula, little nebulous things, because they look all fuzzy, because you can't resolve the stars. I mean, the Andromeda galaxy is 2.5 million light years away. And the other galaxy that I'm speaking about in the spring, they're 10 to 20 to 30 to 100 million light years away. So the fact that the Andromeda, our neighbor, is only 2.5 million light years away allows us to see it. Now, we're on a collision course, the Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy, and we'll merge, and that'll be quite a sight, but that won't be for another 5 billion years.
Yeah, I won't set my clock for that one. But the mind-blowing thing here for me is you're talking only 2.5 million light years away. Light year, that's the distance that a beam of light would travel in a year. So when I'm looking at Andromeda, say, I'm actually seeing Andromeda as it looked 2.5 million years ago, because it took the light that long to get here. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, are there other big events that you and your club mates are looking forward to over the course of the summer?
Well, we're not proponents of daylight savings time. It's hard to have star parties for children and everybody else in June when it doesn't get dark until 10:30.
Fair.
So what we do in the summertime is that we have solar telescopes that are called hydrogen alpha. They're a special frequency at the red end of the spectrum that allow you to look at the sun's chromosphere. This is the layer that's below the photosphere. The bright white light, yellow light that we see right now is from the photosphere. Below that is the chromosphere, and the chromosphere are hydrogen atoms cooling down, and they map all the features of the magnetic waves and the plasma in the sun.
Wow.
You can see the sun bubbling through our telescope. You can see prominences on the limb of the sun.
And I'll have to jump in there. Happy watching tonight. Hope you don't have a lot of clouds. That's Jim Head with the Northwoods Explorers of Space and Astronomy in Minocqua talking about tonight's full lunar eclipse.